like to read from, first of all, from the Psalms. Psalm 93, that's page 752. Verse 3 of Psalm 93, the floods lifted up, O Jehovah, the floods lifted up their voice, the floods lifted up their roaring waves. Jehovah on high is mightier than the voices of many waters, than the mighty breakers of the sea. And then in 1 Kings chapter 19, it's page 472, verse 11. And Jehovah said, go forth and stand upon the mount before Jehovah. And behold, Jehovah passed by, and a great and strong wind rent the mountain and broke in pieces the rocks before Jehovah. Jehovah was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. Jehovah was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. Jehovah was not in the fire. And after the fire, a soft, gentle voice. And it came to pass when Elijah heard it, that he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood in the entrance of the cave. And behold, a voice came to him and said, what doest thou here, Elijah? And then in John's Gospel, chapter 10 and verse 27. This is Jesus speaking, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And lastly, Mark's Gospel, chapter 4, page 1196, verse 35 of chapter 4. And on that day, when evening was come, he says to them, let us go over to the other side. And having sent away the crowd, they take him with them, as he was in the ship. But the other ships also were with him. And there comes a violent gust of wind, and the waves beat into the ship so that it is already filled. And he was in the stern, sleeping on the cushion. And they wake him up and say to him, teacher, dost thou not care that we are perishing? And waking up, he rebuked the wind and said to the sea, silent, be mute. And the wind fell, and there was a great calm. And he said to them, why are you thus fearful? How is it ye have not faith? And they feared with great fear, and said one to another, who then is this that even the winds and the sea obey him? I guess we can't help but have noticed the weather, which has been pretty relentless, hasn't it, with rain and winds and storms and mighty flooding as well. And made me think about how God speaks to us. And some of these scriptures tell us that, first one in Psalm, that Jehovah is mightier than the voices of many waters, than the mighty breakers of the sea. And we've seen some enormous damage, haven't we, done by the sea and the waves beating the coastline of this country and throughout the world. But in particular, it's been noticeable, hasn't it? And yet, God is mightier than the waves and the sea that we see. And, you know, he uses nature to speak to us. He uses it to draw our attention to the greatness of God. Think about God as the one that has created the very world we live in, created the elements, the power of the wind and the power of the waves. We're all in God's hand, and we can be thankful for that. God is over all things. But what I was wanting to speak about was the small, gentle voice which Elijah heard. And that speaking is so important, because God doesn't speak in great earthquakes or great fires or great storms, although he may do, and he uses those things to draw man's attention to the mighty God who he is, and whose hand is able to control absolutely everything in nature. But he speaks in a gentle way, in a quiet way, so that you may hear. And the message of the gospel is proclaimed so that you might hear it, not you might ignore it and put it off for another day, but he would speak so that you'd hear his speaking and respond to it. We sung, didn't we, about God's calling, and God is calling tonight in the gospel so that you might be saved. So Elijah, Kings 19. Elijah's interesting. Elijah was lived about 900 years before Jesus was born. He was a prophet and he did some wonderful things. He was always fighting against the power of other gods and the prophets of Baal that were present at the time were always contesting between their God and the true and mighty God that I've spoken of, God himself. And so Elijah did wonderful miracles. He prayed, didn't he, that it would not rain, and it didn't rain for 3 years. He retreated, didn't he, to a brook where he was fed by ravens. He raised a widow's son that had died. He prayed again that it might rain, and it rained. And he sent, was it Ahab, I think it was, to look out to see whether there was any sign of clouds. And I think he told him to go out 7 times and there was not a sign of a cloud. And then suddenly there was a small cloud like a hand coming from the sea, and he could show that rain was to come. But the queen of Israel at that time, Jezebel, she was against Elijah and his prophecy. And Elijah became very down and got to a point in his life where he wanted to die. And it was really just before this time where we read where this happened, and God came and told him to stand on the mount. I think it was possibly Mount Sinai, but I'm not sure. And to stand before Jehovah. And we read where we read, Jehovah came by in a great wind and a great earthquake and a great fire. And what Elijah came to realize was that despite all the wonderful and marvelous things that he was able to do, he was dependent on God, and God was to speak to him, not in great mighty things like the winds and the earthquakes and the fire. Because it demonstrated his power, hadn't he, Elijah, in bringing fire down from heaven when the prophets of Baal had said, they competed with him to say, well, we'll get our God to bring fire from heaven and you show your God can do the same. And Elijah was able to demonstrate that he could bring fire from heaven to burn the fire and the wood, even wood that had been made wet. He was able to demonstrate the mighty power of God. And yet Elijah had to come to it and realize that God was greater than all these things. And what was needed was to listen to the voice, which was a gentle and quiet voice. And God spoke to him, it says, and he realized who he was before. And a voice spoke to him and said, what doest thou here? And I guess that's a question for all of us, isn't it? Why are you here tonight? Why are you here? Are you here just because you do it every Sunday? Are you here because you want to hear the voice of God? You know, God is speaking, and I feel very strongly about this, that God is speaking, and he wants you to hear his voice. You know, you may have never have heard the voice of God, and yet God speaks, it tells us, doesn't it, in John's Gospel, that he's spoken in many ways. Is it John? Thinking of John? Where's the epistle, isn't it? Spoken in many ways.
Hebrews,
thank you. And I was thinking as to the way God has spoken, isn't it? Through many ways, and then he's spoken through the person of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. So he's spoken to us in the person of the Son, in whom he is established heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. You know, the God that created the very elements and the worlds has come right down to us today in speaking to us through the Lord Jesus Christ. It's why I read us to in John chapter 10, where it says, my sheep hear my voice. You know, the speaking of God through his Son, the Lord Jesus, he comes very much like the Lord as a shepherd, and a shepherd looking after his sheep. That's how the Lord Jesus has come to this very world to, it says to, in that same chapter, to lay down his life for his sheep. You know, the Lord Jesus came here to die for you and for me, to lay down his life for you and for me, to shed his precious blood for you and for me, so that we may have life, and we might have life in his name. You know, he's done it, and he's spoken to us. That very act he's done is witnessed through the Bible that we have today, and through all those that have put their trust in the Lord Jesus. And yet Jesus is speaking tonight in a soft, gentle voice. I would desire that you would answer to him and respond to him and hear his voice and seek him and find him. My sheep hear my voice. You know, that's what is needed. We need to have the ears to hear. And we need the faith to believe what God has done, faith to believe what Jesus has done in dying for us and shedding his precious blood. You know, Jesus died and was buried, was put in a tomb, and he was in that tomb for 3 days and three nights. And he was raised again by the glory of God. And you know, that's because the work was complete and fully satisfied. God is raised by the glory of God. What a wonderful thing it is that Jesus has been raised, so that tonight he is living and speaking. You know, that without the Lord living, there would be no gospel, there would be no message, there would be no voice. Jesus is speaking tonight to you, so that you might call upon him. There's lots of examples of the Lord speaking while here. And I suppose one of the most astonishing ones is the conversion of Saul, where, you know, God spoke, or the Lord Jesus rather, spoke to Saul, didn't he, when he was on that Damascus road in Acts 22. When he was journeying near to Damascus about midday, there suddenly shone out of heaven a great light around me. I fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to me, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And I answered, who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus the Nazarene, whom thou persecutest. It tells us, after they that were with me beheld the light and were filled with fear, but heard not the voice of him that was speaking to me. You know, Saul heard the voice of the Lord Jesus and realized that he was the one that he was out there to he was persecuting the Christians, and as a result was persecuting the Lord himself. And you know, that was a wake-up call, wasn't it, to Saul, to realize who Jesus was. He heard the voice of Jesus and he responded to it. You know, the men that were there also, they saw the light, but they didn't hear the voice. And that's a very sobering thing, isn't it, that, you know, God is speaking, a soft, gentle voice, and yet, you know, some hear, some don't hear. Some respond, some don't respond. The opportunity tonight is to hear that voice and respond to it. the end of the very book of the Bible that we have in our hands, I suppose, is another evidence of the speaking at the very end of time, really. And we often refer to it in Revelation 3, "Behold, I stand at the door and am knocking. If anyone hear my voice and open the door, I will come in unto him and sup with him, and he with me." You know, I leave that message with you, that Jesus is knocking at the door. You know, it's for us to hear his voice and to open the door and let him in. It's as simple as that. There's nothing more you need to do. You need to hear the voice of Jesus and respond to it. Accept him as your Saviour. Ask him to forgive your sins. Ask him to forgive all those things that have distanced you from himself and from God. And Jesus will wash away your sins and save you for time and eternity. Mm-hmm. And you'll have that life that he has got, life that can, as Jesus could say, living water springing up into eternal life. That's what a Christian has, as putting their trust in Jesus. They have life in his name. And it says here that we'll be able to come into him and sup with him, and he with me. What a wonderful thing that the gospel message goes out, that you might then have a relationship with the Lord Jesus. Something that you can enjoy now and eternally. You know, that's really all I have to say. The voice of Jesus is speaking tonight. He speaks in many ways. You know, don't be distracted by things around. Listen to the soft, gentle voice of the Lord Jesus in calling you, and respond to his name and accept Jesus as your Saviour before it's too late. That knocking will cease one day. There will not be another opportunity. His voice will seek calling. You know, the God's goodness and grace is allowing the gospel message to go out tonight. And it's for you to respond to that call. Respond to that seeking that the Lord is doing. He seeks all that he would be calling and seeking each and every one of us to save us and to have him as our own personal Saviour. May you do so tonight for his name's sake.
Amen. Amen.